God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from John 21. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, have you caught any fish?" "No," they answered. So he said, "Throw out your nets on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish, 153 large fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said, "It is the Lord." Dear friends in Christ, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. So now what? That's more or less the question of this third Sunday of Easter. We've got it pretty well nailed down that we're not getting nailed because God nailed Jesus to the cross and the devil got nailed when Jesus was crucified. So now what? Peter and six other disciples decide to go fishing, which I say is always a good choice in my book. And it shouldn't surprise us since at least four of them were fishermen and Jesus hadn't given them any marching orders yet. So why not go fishing? So they go to the Sea of Galilee, they fish all night, and guess what? No fish. Does this remind you of anything? No? Well, it's a bit of deja vu. 3 years earlier, at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus said in Luke 5, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down on the right side of the boat." When they did, they caught such a large number of fish that they called their friends in another boat, and they filled both boats so full of fish that they were about to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." But you may remember Jesus didn't depart. When sinners repent, Jesus does not leave us in our sins. You flat out cannot out-sin the cross. The only thing you can do is reject the cross. So Jesus said to Peter at the beginning of his ministry, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch people for the kingdom." And they left their nets and followed him. And simple, ordinary, smelly fishermen became fishers of men, sent to cast out the net of Jesus' death and resurrection, and to drag that good news through the whole earth and haul in a catch of God's people forgiven of their sins for the Lord. Now, today's text happens 3 years and a crucifixion and a resurrection later. Again, the disciples had fished all night, and again, they had nothing to show for their work. You get the impression these guys aren't the greatest fishermen in the world. Maybe Jesus was doing them a favor by calling them to be fishers of men. Still, the Lord can use anyone who avails themselves to be used of God, and that includes you and me. The disciples had fished all night with nothing to show for it when this stranger on the shore cries out something familiarly ridiculous. "Throw out your net on the right side of the boat and you will catch fish." So they took him at his word. Do what seems ridiculous, and something amazing happens again. When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. 153 large fish. I'm guessing they were walleye. Now, this text is loaded, and not just with fish, but with meaning. First of all, if Jesus is still dead, you have nothing to catch people with. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "If Christ be not raised, our preaching is useless, and you are still in your sins." And if the tomb of Jesus is not empty, you have nothing to catch people for. Again, 1 Corinthians 15 says, if Christ be not raised, the dead are lost. So Jesus gives them this miracle to show them that he is risen indeed. And we are sent to catch people for the kingdom with the good news that we've all been caught in the net of Jesus's forgiving death and resurrection. Secondly, we're told that they caught 153 fish. Now, we don't know this for sure, but Christian tradition tells us there were 153 nations in the world in Jesus' day. If that's the case, then what is Jesus saying? I desire to catch the whole world in my death and resurrection, which, whether or not there were 153 nations, that is still the truth. God desires to catch the whole world with his death and resurrection, for we have a Savior who wants no one to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Thirdly, this is what I like to call a post-resurrection seminar in discipleship. A disciple never truly graduates, at least not until we die. Even these disciples who spent 3 solid years walking and talking with Jesus, that's like a seminary education, even better, and who were eyewitnesses of the risen Jesus and ear witnesses of his teaching, they still need to be taught. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, and your nets will be full. Do it your way, and your nets are going to come up empty. The church still needs to learn that lesson today more than ever. We're often awash in methods and programs. The church still operates a lot like going to a fishing show, where you can find all the latest gizmos and gadgets of how to bring you to the fish or how to bring the fish to you. But stop and think about this miracle. How is the church going to catch people for the kingdom? The answer from the disciples' empty nets is simple. Left to our own devices, no matter how clever or well-intentioned we may be, we're going to fail. We can fish our tails off, and at the end of the day, when we haul up our nets, we'll be lucky to haul in a couple of old shoes, a few hubcaps, a tire, and a collection of beer cans. While the church is awash in the latest books or videos on how to grow the church, the Lord of the church, who hung on a cross to save you and me, an individual sinner, and who rose from the dead to show himself victorious over death, cries out to the church and asks, is anyone interested in fishing my way? And my way of fishing is really simple. Matthew 28, go and make disciples. It actually says in the Greek, and going out. So if you're going out, what are you going out from? Well, think of it like this, and going out from my cross, going out from my empty tomb, going out with the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, going out with the gift of the Holy Spirit, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to hold on to everything I've commanded you. That's how Jesus tells us to go fishing. How do we catch people for the Lord? Baptize them into Jesus's death over their sins and baptize them into his resurrection over their death and keep teaching them that they have a crucified and risen Savior for the forgiveness of their sins, and your nets will be bursting. No special evangelism training, no synodical videos, no 3-ring binders or 4 spiritual law tracts. And it's not that evangelism methods and programs are wrong, but I fear that we've sort of institutionalized evangelism. And we sort of say, well, leave it to the experts. Evangelism is what professional church workers are paid for. And when we do that, we put God on a leash and we don't go fishing. I expect fish to be caught in this church, but I'm not going to go fishing. Yet catching people with the net of Jesus's all-forgiving death and his death-conquering resurrection is what those who have been caught by his death and resurrection do. Professionals do what they do for hire. Amateurs do it for the love of it. Professionals are salesmen, but forgiven sinners are satisfied customers of the cross and empty tomb. And you tell me what you think will bring in more people. Professional salesmen are satisfied customers. Rather than waiting for others to tell you how to tell others what Jesus did, just go and tell others what Jesus did. Evangelism is not some memorized script. It's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. It's one resurrectee telling another potential resurrectee how to get out of their grave. And the final thing Jesus wants us to learn from this miracle, and this is kind of a repetition, is that Jesus practices net fishing, not bait fishing. The church is often preoccupied with bait fishing, pandering to needs, rewriting creeds, hitting the target audience with the latest fad, telling the fish what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. That's bait fishing, not net fishing. What Jesus tells us, does anybody want to go fishing my way, is put down your chum buckets and forget about bait fishing. It doesn't work. Jesus says what the church needs is to get back to net fishing. Net fishing is indiscriminate and all-inclusive. Nets grab anything and everything in their path, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Bass, catfish, walleye, perch, crappie, carp, eels, snapping turtles, old shoes, rubber boots, used tires, you name it. You don't discriminate when you're net fishing. You just haul in the catch and sort everything out later. And that's how Jesus' all-forgiving death and his all-death-conquering resurrection works. We are to drag it through the world like a big net, drag through deep water. All the world, all the fish, all sinners have been caught in the net of Jesus' all-forgiving death and his death-conquering resurrection that will not let us go. The big broad net of his death and resurrection gets cast into the darkest depths of this sinful world, and it hauls up whoever gets caught. A bursting net load of sinners scooped up in the all-embracing net of Jesus's death and resurrection, who reconciled all things to God in his dark death on the cross. What catches sinners is the all-inclusivity of Jesus's death. Christ died for all. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God so loved the world. Not our own manipulations of which bait to use, or our own insistence to throw out the net our way. To use anything but the all-inclusive gospel of Jesus Christ crucified and risen is to use a net with huge holes in it. You might catch fish for a little while, but eventually those fish will wiggle out of Jesus' gospel net at the first opportunity of self-righteousness, pride, or temptation. The disciples would never have experienced the great catch of fish, nor would they have seen Jesus that day had they not taken him at his word. And the same applies to us. If we want to catch sinners for Jesus, and if we want the number of fish in this church to grow, we all need to go fishing. We all need to go fishing Jesus' way. And Jesus' way is to go net fishing by dragging his all-forgiving death and his all-death-conquering resurrection through the world. and let others know that they've been caught by Jesus' forgiveness, life, and salvation. We don't need to trick the fish into the net or view this good news as unattractive bait that needs to be made more appealing. No, Jesus promises us, and he validated by this miracle, fish my way by casting out the net of the Savior who checked into his grave dead for sinners and checked back out of his grave alive for sinners, and your nets will be filled. When we start net fishing, Jesus died for you, Jesus rose for you, and you are forgiven. It works. People will be caught for the kingdom. When members start inviting the fish they swim with to swim with them to church, those fish will come. And unless they insist on squirming away, they will get caught in the net of God's good news. Just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, and then I'm going to check out again. I'm going to rise again. That news catches people. Because even fish want to live. So what's it mean for us who have already been caught in the net of Jesus' death and resurrection? Rather than pulling our boats ashore, we are to be out in the world net fishing, casting out the good news. Christ died for all, which means you're included. Because I live, you will live also, means you're included. We cast that net out, and God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, fills up the net, and he gives us the joy of hauling in the catch. But you'll never have the joy of hauling in the catch if you never go fishing. It might be hard work at times, because fish do not voluntarily swim into the nets, and are also pretty clever about avoiding nets, and so are sinners. Sinners will try any religion and any gimmick and any way to save themselves, except the one way that works, the net of Jesus' death and resurrection. But thank God that he doesn't do bait fishing, because we'd never bite on the idea of a dead and risen Savior. Nevertheless, God dropped the big net down to this world. Father, forgive them. And it is finished. And on Easter morning, don't be afraid. He's risen from the dead. And what does it mean? Because I live, you're going to live also. Like a big net. Jesus doesn't ask the fish if they'd like to be caught, if they'd like to be forgiven, or if they'd like to rise. Jesus just goes ahead, dies to forgive us, rises to raise us, and the only option left for the fish, that is sinners, is to try to squirm out of their being caught by the death and resurrection of Jesus that catches us all. With his gospel net, Jesus baptizes us. And before we realize the full implications of what our baptism means, he's got us. We're netted, buried in the death of Jesus over our sins, raised in the resurrection of Jesus over our death. Jesus speaks the words of forgiveness into our ears, and we're caught in the net of forgiveness that won't let us go. Jesus gives us his own body and blood to draw us to him with no hooks attached. This is no bait and switch. He really gives us his body broken for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Like the fishermen, it's time to put our reason on the shelf and take Jesus at his word. His word is sure because he died and rose again. And the only thing he asks us is to go fishing with his death and resurrection and help others see that they've already been caught in a love so deep, so wide, so great, it will never let them go. And with Jesus on the resurrection shore, we can be assured the catch will be great as he fills our nets too. All in Jesus. Amen.